definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known wrestlers in the world today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. Clickwrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, they just went through the whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went 2 sentences and then went, poof. All right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I've ever saw. And I'm not lying.
WW Radio. And now, Nick Anthony.
Legendary Jack Briscoe passes away at the age of 68. Also, the WWE Hall of Fame has some names floating around. We'll talk about it. But the hunky who says, saying, no, no, I won't go. Also, we have some Click Wrestle matches that will be given away tonight. The Rumble aftermath from this past Monday and my review of the Rumble this past Sunday. There were some things missing at this year's Rumble. Some things that I have come accustomed to. Things that drew me in every year. A lot of us watch only two pay-per-views a year, WrestleMania and, of course, the Rumble. But we know what we're getting at these events, don't we? But this year, something was left out. What you didn't see, up next shortly here on OWW Radio. Online World of Wrestling, OWW Genesis, WTR, Wild Talk, Radio Networks. I'm Nick Anthony of the Forums, broadcasting from the entertainment capital of the world, man. Los Angeles, California, and you are tuned in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, OWW Radio, where fans and legends come together. Whether you are a viewer of WWE's Monday Night Raw, ECW, Superstars, or Friday Night SmackDown, what about TNA Impact? Ring of Honor, the Indies. We talked them all, including MMA, Mad. We want to hear from you, and we've made it easy for you with our toll-free telephone number at 888-357-9876. That's 888-357-9876, option two, or dos, for my Mexican amigos. Email address is radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com. That's radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com, Mad. Rumble this past Sunday, man. By far, my favorite pay-per-view of the year. I can remember sitting in the great room or the den watching Rumble with my friends, and them tell everyone basically saying telling everyone to shut up, stop talking. We're watching wrestling. I remember having sheets of papers with every participant listed and who threw out who. And what number the superstars went in. Why I did it, I don't know. But it was a blast doing it, man. I bet I wasn't the only one doing it, was I? Overall, this past Sunday, although it won't go down in the history of books as a classic. It won't go down in the history of books as a classic, but it will be remembered. And solely because of the Edge return for you Edgeheads, which we will get into later on in the show. Nothing real surprising happened on this year's Rumble. In fact, we didn't even see some of the staples that I believe drew fans to the Rumble event. You guys agree with me on that one? Because I certainly, I didn't see it. I didn't see a lot of things that drew me to the event, in other words. For instance, the retro wrestler entrant, we didn't see that. We didn't see that this year, nope. I was hoping we see maybe a Steamboat or some other past wrestler. I think Tim brought up IRS this past weekend. I think he brought up IRS. But we didn't see it. We didn't see him. Didn't see Steamboat. Didn't see any of the retro wrestlers. You guys remember the past Rumbles where these past wrestlers would do appearances and the crowd would go bonkers, man, for them. Just absolutely crazy. They would be cheering and oohing and ahhing for these guys. Chanting every time they met up with some superstar, then cheering when they get when they throw somebody out and boo when they get thrown out themselves. Yeah, those are good times. Good times. I missed that this year. Love seeing that in the past. You don't see these guys, these retro wrestlers, that much. So I got accustomed to seeing them make these Royal Rumble appearances in the matches themselves. You don't see them that often anymore. You think to yourself, whatever happened to that guy? Whatever happened to that past wrestler? One day they were here, the next day they were gone. It's good for them to show up at the Rumble. Most of them still have it, as we saw Steamboat. So, man, I look forward to that. What do you guys think about that? Them taking out retro wrestlers appearing in the Rumble. I mean, we could have done without some of the guys that were in the Rumble themselves. All we needed were two spots. We could have done without Yoshi or Yahtzee, whatever his name. We could have done without him, couldn't we? And for certain, Beth Phoenix, we could have done without her. That's two slots right there. And why wasn't Regal in the Rumble? Is he hurt? I'm telling you, man, Regal, Christian, Benjamin, all festering there in ECW, man. They're like rump roast. What were we talking about the other day, Tim? Pot roast? Well, they're like rump roast marinated in broth, man. More on Christian and this very topic, because how long has it been now? Since the move over? My word, it's ridiculous. Also, you know what else was missing at this year's Rumble? You know how every year there is there's one wrestler who is dealt the card to receive every finishing maneuver by every wrestler in the ring at that time. Didn't see that this year. It's usually a mid-card, loudmouth, or mid-to-upper-heel snob character. Someone like a Santino, or a Regal, or even a Miz for that. Someone with those characteristics, usually, man. You remember this? I look forward into those things. And it usually gets a huge pop by the crowd in attendance. Overall, the Rumble, the Royal Rumble match was, in baseball terminology, it was a triple with two outs in the inning, though. It was good, but we had two outs in the inning. Meaning, it was welcome and it was good, but it didn't get the job done. In other words, we had nobody on base. I'm speaking in baseball terminology. We had no one on base to drive in, and the Rumble didn't hit the ball hard enough for the extra 90 feet to score. Or it ran too slow. You take your pick. In other words, the setup, the walk-up to the Rumble, the rest of the players, the rest of the lineup, the rest of the card, it didn't deliver. Most of the matches on the card were over too fast. And weren't interesting, which is the norm for the WWE these days anyway, so it is what it is. I couldn't tell you, if it weren't for these notes in front of me, what occurred outside of the Rumble match itself. I couldn't tell you. If it wasn't for these pieces of paper in front of me, I couldn't tell you what occurred. That a bad thing? You better believe it. Yeah, there were some spots I remember, but very few. And that's only because of Taker, and it involved blood. And you know, we don't see that much. That's it. Nonetheless, the Rumble took place. These matches did take place. These matches that were on the lineup leading up to the Rumble. These matches did take a part at the Rumble event this year in Atlanta. And we'll talk about them up next here on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
Alright, Online World of Wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloodfest, All-Time Polls, What If, Fair or Foul, even an e-fed called Takedown. More? Okay. OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay. You'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at Online World of Wrestling official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forum. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one hurt it.
Do you have a business that you are looking to take online but have no idea what an HTML or a JPEG is? Do you currently have a website that is in need of an overhaul? Or do you have a website that needs updating but you don't have the time to do so? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, then you need to check out WTRProductions.tk, where you can get quality web design and management at an affordable rate. Looking to get the lowdown on all the services we offer? then shoot us off an email by checking out our contact section so that we can help you get started building your online home. WTR Productions. High quality work for an affordable rate. Built the way you want. Located at www.wtrproductions.tk.
877-987-6, option 2. Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. That's the email address. Emails to the show, man. I'm also in the WTR chat room. Well, I will be shortly. Get my browser working properly. The producers are all over the globe right now. Shock in New Zealand. Scott in New York. Aaron. Not far. He's in Little Rock. Corey in the Great White North. Genesis Chat, welcome in to WTR. We're taking your phone calls this evening on the Royal Rumble event. Later on the show, we'll be talking to Rob and Pam Allen from the Soli bloodline, man. Rob is Pam's husband. On the topic of Jack Briscoe. Of course, he passed away. We'll be getting into that a little in the second hour. Let's see, we're talking Royal Rumble this hour, though, this past Sunday. You know what? Christian and Ezekiel impressed me on Sunday. I wasn't expecting this caliber of a match from them either. Yeah, I know Christian can deliver, but with Ezekiel, I didn't think it would work, but it did. Christian adapted conformed to the style of Ezekiel on Sunday. You guys agree with that? He slowed the pace down in order to make the match look good. Think about it. Could you imagine if Christian would have been in normal Christian mode, Christian Cage mode, over wrestling and really dominating the lesser of the two in Ezekiel in the match? It would have been a train wreck. Especially for the Rumble to start with that type of match, it would have looked really bad. Christian really made this match what it was. And I was shocked that these two different wrestling styles were demonstrated and put over and done properly in the beginning of this one out of the four big pay-per-views of the WWE. Outcome, Christian retaining the title over Ezekiel in a great opening bout at the event. Here's what I didn't like, or what I don't like, I should say. And you guys heard me say it 1,001 times. You guys heard me say it before. Jim Cornette, as close-minded as he is at times, he was dead on when he stated this about ECW.
Let's go ahead and put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, the third show, they're stuck with it, they canceled the touring live events, and now it's just a television show and a not very well-rated one at that, and they basically, that's the the home of last resort for things that they want to try out. It's their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
He was also right when he, or what he said about Christian.
Christian Cage is not going to be the Steve Austin. Christian Cage is not The Rock. Christian Cage is not the guy that's going to headline every pay-per-view for the next 5 years and draw incredible money. Now that we've got that out of the way, Christian Cage is as good or better as 95% of the roster of any wrestling promotion in the world today. Christian Cage is a hard worker and a good worker. Christian Cage is a smart kid. Christian Cage is a good talker. But he's not 6 feet six, and he doesn't weigh 275 pounds. And standing next to a superstar like John Laurinaitis, I'm sure he doesn't look very physically intimidating. But the point is, he's proven himself. He's got experience. He's got talent. And he does business in a pretty decent way.
So why can't management see that? These guys, as well as others, as I stated earlier, are stagnant there. I mentioned Regal, Benjamin, and, of course, Christian. They're just laying there. They're just there. No one is even watching ECW, but maybe a couple of handfuls. Don't you agree with that? Only a couple of handfuls are watching ECW. But they continue to allow some of the best talent to remain there for, what, I don't know, personal opinions, I guess? Maybe McMahon's personal opinions of these wrestlers? Having them stay stagnant, festering on this program? ECW? The developmental program for the WWE on TV. So they have two developmental programs. Florida and ECW on TV on Spike. Or what is it on? Sci-Fi. Bottom line, and I know I won't get an argument here. These wrestlers aren't advancing in their careers on this program. Certainly not Benjamin, right? Benjamin needs off that program yesterday, immediately. Do you agree with that? I know I'm not going to get an argument on it. Regal's been wrestling all over, man, and he's stuck on ECW? Christian needs off that program immediately as well. Regal, as I mentioned before, too. That's the real... And you know what? What Cornette said, it's a developmental program on national TV. There's no growth there at the stage for Christian, Benjamin, or Regal, as I said. There's no growth. But here's the deal. They need these guys there. And I'm talking about the WWE. They need them on ECW. That's the real story behind this major talent being kept on ECW. That's the real deal. That's the story behind the story. They need them. The WWE fan base, or the WWE universe, as they call it, whatever it is. The McManagement needs somebody they can recognize and or like on the ECW brand. Otherwise, there's no point in tuning in every Tuesday. That couple of handful of viewers need that one, or in this case, three recognizable faces in order to stay loyal on Tuesday nights, the ECW. Think about it. Before Christian, there was Matt. Before Matt, there was Kane. All of which they got the heck out of there, man. They took the next train out of town. They had, I guess with Matt and Kane, they had a little bit more pull than Christian. I guess Christian isn't liked Wasn't there a rumor or a news article? I can't confirm or deny it, but there was a news article or a rumor going around that management, they weren't impressed with Christian.
I remember that.
McMahon said, I'm not impressed with him. He's not able to draw. I think he can draw a whole heck of a lot more than Sheamus or She-Man or whatever he is. The pale white dude. If Christian goes, WWE will need someone to place him, and they will have to replace him, I should say, and they will have to find somebody who would work and do a better job than Christian. And currently, I don't see it. So buckle up. What did Taker say a couple of months back? Buckle up, Teddy. Because it's going to be a long ride for the former, I should say, NWA World Champion.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Vince
Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Do you have a certain passion? Maybe you're a geek, a wrestling fan, a sex enthusiast, or you just need something to do for the evening. Then come check out the Wild Talk Radio Network, providing you with the latest in online entertainment. Whether it's getting in the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio, or getting a little R-rated with Stevie Radio, or anything goes. Or whether you just want to play a game of Dungeons & Dragons with the geeks over to Talky Talk Live. All you gotta do is head on over to www.wildtalkradio.com and check out all of our daily programming. Wild Talk Radio Network. Come and get wild with us.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
Your phone calls now and emails 888-357-9876 option 2. Radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com is the email address. What is it? God's Pack?
You're always hiding.
Alright. Follow us on the Twitter page, whatever that is. Whatever that is. What is the Twitter account? What is it? Just OWW Radio, I'm assuming. And subscribe to us on iTunes already. Welcome back, everyone, to OWW Radio. The Rumble aftermath and the Rumble itself is the topic of conversation on this show. We have had some great posts involving the Rumble from OWW Genesis this past week. Even leading up to the event, man, some great posts over there on Genesis. Been great. None better, though, than the topic of who will be, what is this, the future of the WWE. Now, on WWE Genesis, Turley wrote, and Aaron, I'm going to bring you in on this.
Okay.
Turley wrote on Genesis, in 5 years' time, who do you think will be the top guys in the WWE and why? Will it be the same veterans we have today, or will some of the mid-carders have been elevated? Would they have been elevated by them? What are your thoughts on it? That's from Turley on OWW Genesis. We had guys on Genesis saying Edge and Christian, Punk, Morrison, She-Man, Evan Bourne, Swagger, on and on and on and on. But only one guy out of, what is it, 453,000? I don't even know who it is, how many people we have on the forum. But one guy mentioned The Miz. But I want to shoot you guys a news flash for those unaware of The Miz. Or news flash for you guys that haven't realized thus far. The Miz has really, you know, gotten over these past years to become one great heel persona in the WWE. You gotta agree with that. Think about it. The past couple of years, think about the growth of the heel in the past couple of years and the heels that it produced. Just last year, or the last couple of years, 2 years. Right off the top, although already established, Jericho. Then there is CM Punk. Randy Orton, although already established as a heel character. So he really doesn't count. And then you have who? The Miz. He has really come a long way in the industry, don't you agree? And is beginning to be perfect. He's beginning to perfect this new career choice for himself. And here is the striking part on why I, along with others, choose The Miz to be on top in the WWE in the coming years. What did Charlie write 5 years from now? This is why I picked Miz to be on top of the WWE in 5 years. Maybe even less. Get this. It isn't because of his wrestling ability. It isn't because he is good on the mic. It isn't because he has charisma. He's charismatic. It isn't because of that. It isn't because, what does he say? It isn't because he is awesome. Although he has all the above, it doesn't count here. What does count is his Hollywood connection. And why you might ask? And you only have to look at this past Monday night, yesterday, and the past several months, and see B and C list celebrities with the occasional artist force-fed to us in order to bring Hollywood, or better yet, to get accepted into Hollywood for the benefit of McManagement and its poorly written, bad acting, go-nowhere movies. My opinion. McMahon wants the connections to advance the WWE film brand. That's all. These poorly written, bad acting movies that benefit only McMahon. He wants those connections to advance the film brand so he can possibly ruin another faucet of entertainment. And benefit off wrestlers. Benefit off the wrestlers who go on Larry King Live and announce to the world that they don't need a union. Meanwhile, peers are falling dead because they are trying to keep their spot on the roster and years later pay for it. As Christopher Nowinski has continued to point out. But no, we don't need a union, he said. You know who I'm talking about. That wrestler who went on Larry King Live. You know who I'm talking about. He said, no, we don't need a union. We don't need anyone to speak up for us. We good. It's all good, man. Oh, where was I? I'm sorry. What was I talking about? Good Lord. I'm back. Don't worry. I'm here. So here we have a talented former reality TV star with wrestling ability and mic skills and charisma, feuding with some of today's biggest stars, man. John Cena, Shawn Michaels, MVP, on and on and on, the list goes on. The sky's the limit for The Miz. And you guys have to hand it to him, whether you like him or not. And truth be told, I was against him at the beginning. As well you should be, because he was horrible. Bottom line, he was. But you guys gotta hand it to him. He devoted his life to this. And in my opinion, he's underrated at this stage, in my opinion. He is. He needs some credit. 888-357-9876, option 2. 888-357-9876, option 2. What do you think, Aaron?
Nick, I think I'm going to say Ted DiBiase. I believe Ted will be on top for a few reasons, actually. The first reason is because he's a third-generation wrestler. His grandfather was an outstanding wrestler, but his pops was who everyone knew and loved. I'm sure you grew up watching Ted.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Million Dollar Man?
Yeah.
For sure.
Ted
Cena. Yeah, he's another one that's definitely going to be in the top next 5 years, as well as Cody Rhodes. What do you think that stood out for the Miz, some of the matches that stood out for The Miz? And I know you're a big WWE fan, being in the younger generation. What do you think stood out for The Miz that elevated his career to this standpoint, this heel persona that he's has, to get him over in these matches? What feuds did this to his career?
Well, I really think of two things that got him elevated. The first was whenever he was in a tag team with John Morrison, because Morrison had been around for a few years, and he had started getting the feeling of his gimmick, and he was a pretty good tag team wrestler with Joey Mercury. And so Miz got together with Morrison, and I think Miz probably learned a lot of what he knows from John Morrison. And
yeah,
you fast forward about a year or so, and he starts working with John Cena. And we can dog on Cena all day long, but there is no denying that he knows what that main event spot is like. And so he, give him credit where credit is due, he probably helped out The Miz a lot and got him elevated even more to United States title status.
888-357-9876, option 2, radio at online, worldofwrestling.com. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're on OWW Radio. Your name?
It's Heartbreak Mike from D.C.
What's up, Mike, D.C.?
I'm sorry, I had to get a box of tissues because you were preaching gospel, man. I had to... Anyway, so, I was hearing what you guys were saying, and I was like, you know what, let me call in and give my input. It's been a while since I've called in, and
sure,
I'm glad to be back on the phones.
Cool.
First of all, the Royal Rumble pay-per-view, I give it a D.
Okay.
I give it a D for the simple reason is that the Sheamus and Randy Orton match disappointed me.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cody, come on, Cody Rhodes actually interfered, and then he starts, Randy Orton starts pulling a temper tantrum. Are you out of your mind? Please. If right. if it was my booking, Randy Orton would have punted Sheamus, called it a day, then they could have gone to WrestleMania for it. But hey, right. That's just me.
I'm thinking there's going to, before you move on from Randy Orton, I'm thinking that the Orton, Ted DiBiase, and Cody Rhodes angle is going to be played out at WrestleMania as a triple threat.
I believe that too. I really do. But I'm just going to see if WWE is going to, you know, do what they need to do and pull a TNA and do things right for a change.
Whoa!
Let me explain why I said that.
Right.
Simple reason is that WWE can do so much crap. They may think that they're going to do stuff, but in the long run, they're not. Like, case in point, we actually thought that Bret Hart was literally going to beat the crap out of Vince the first day.
Yeah.
No, the other way around. Vince was like, you know what? I can do whatever I want. If I get to kick you in the gut, I can. And then last night, are you serious? Batista, please.
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me. I thought it could be like someone like, I don't know, Triple H or Chris Jericho or Randy Orton, but Batista?
Yeah.
Why?
Hey, well, we know why, but McMahon has always had a fascination with Batista.
Yeah, that's true. The Royal Rumble, I did get upset because there were no retro superstars. I really wanted to see Jimmy Superfly come out of nowhere, beat the mess out of somebody. And I was actually looking forward for Rob Van Dam's last Royal Rumble before he goes to the dark side. But hey, just my opinion.
A lot of people were looking, Mike, we're looking for Booker T as well.
Yeah,
but of course,
looking for Booker T.
Yeah, Booker T hadn't signed the contract. It was a news article a couple of weeks back, maybe a month, that Booker T hadn't signed, or him and McManagement haven't signed or agreed to the negotiations of the contract. Booker is, from what I read or heard, Booker was looking for a contract similar to Shawn Michaels.
Yep. That's what I heard as well, and I don't think that WWE is going to do that again.
No, I don't think so.
Seriously doubt that. So it looks like he's going to go to FCW, or as WWE will call it now, WWE NXT, which, by the way, starts in about 12 minutes.
Oh, thanks, man.
But I was hearing about what you guys were saying about The Miz and Joey Mercury. I have just found out that Joey Mercury is returning back to Friday Night SmackDown.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
Yeah. And then, what was I going to say? The superstar that I want to see excel would have to be either John Morrison, Jack Swagger, or MVP. The only three.
Well, I really don't see MVP sticking around. I don't see him sticking around in professional wrestling, in my opinion. Morrison, yes, he was that Shawn Michaels in that tag team with Eminem or whatever they called that tag team. And Swagger, he's definitely a heavyweight contendership. He's definitely going to be a superstar in 5 years. I agree with you, Mike.
Well, here's what I believe with MVP. Since he has teamed up with Mark Henry, I think what they're going to do is,
well, that's a bad thing, in my opinion.
Well, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, if I was a booker, I think that MVP and Mark Henry should continue on the Nation of Domination.
I was just about to say that.
That's a good
thing. We are the Nation.
There you go, because you have MVP, Mark Henry, Shelton Benjamin, and R-Truth. That's four people right there that can start the Nation of Domination. And if you want some muscle, add Big Zeke.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I've had a lot of stuff for the booking in my head and stuff. Yeah, and the Royal Rumble, that whole Beth Phoenix thing, it kind of pissed me off.
Yeah,
eliminate the Great Khali. Yes, no. Are you serious?
Yeah.
And
yeah, Beth Phoenix, in my opinion, she's no China, and I basically have. Yeah,
did
I have
you
no comment.
What you said about China?
Yeah, I did. She gets no, she, oh, okay. no airplay here, man. Mike, thanks a lot. We got to get to another phone caller.
All right, guys, I had fun, man.
All right, Mike DC, later. Call back again. He's on the WTR chat room. You can check him out there at wildtalkradio.com. All right, caller, you are on OWW Radio. What's up, man? What's your name?
What's up? My name is Jacob, and I'm from Star City, Arkansas.
Wow. Oh, what's up, Jacob? Arkansas, Little Rock. What's up?
Yeah.
Would your last name by any chance be Emin?
Yes, it would.
Friend of
I
yours,
know this
I
kid.
All right. What's up, Jacob? What's going on?
What's going on?
Aren't you a kid, Aaron? What are you talking about? You know this kid.
Well,
all right, go for it.
Well, Jake, I don't know if you were listening, but we are on Who Will Be on Top in 5 years. What do you think?
Well, I'm not sure.
All right.
Well, thoughts on the Royal Rumble?
All right. What are my thoughts on the Royal Rumble?
What are your thoughts on the Royal Rumble and Edge winning?
Well, my thoughts on the Royal Rumble, I mean...
Let's take a quick break, come back with more OWW Radio. We lost a phone caller there. More on the Rumble, and also Rob and Pam Allen talking Jack Briscoe. All coming up in the second hour. Come back with more OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. ClickWrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 to purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
This is the Godfather of Extreme, Rob Parks. Tune in every Saturday, midnight-ish, for CB Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Everybody, this is Biff Naked. Hang loose, hang ten, high five, go get 'em, fight the good fight. You're listening to WTR with Biff Naked.
Against the ropes, I can feel it. Mm-hmm.
All right, 888-357-9876. Ara Kellya. You're on WWE Radio. Radio at onlineworldofwrestling.com email address. And the WWE Hall of Fame has been in the news. Antonio Inoki will be making an appearance, according to The Observer, being inducted by Stan Hansen. And, and of course, Stu Hart. It hasn't been confirmed. You know the story with WWE. We're thinking Brett to do the honors there, should it happen.
If last night was actually a shoot by Vince, I'm thinking they might put Owen in the Hall of Fame this year.
Well, it's up to Owen's wife. That's the story. So we don't know what's going on there. So we have to wait and see.
I don't know. There's something going. One of the hearts is going in.
There was some rumblings though that involved the Honky Tonk Man and his appearance at the Hall of Fame. Honky turned down the offer so that he can maintain his current road schedule and priorities. With that said, moving along, Aaron is standing by to fulfill his schedule and priorities with the match of the week.
OWW Radio.
All right, match of the week with Aaron Kendrick. You can send match candidates to radio@onlinewaterwrestling.com. First, OWW Genesis member, you can private message. Total nonstop attitude on the Forbes. They're bad. Without any further ado, Aaron. And go.
Okay, Nick. Match of the week for the week of January 25th. As always, we are looking for build-up, ring psychology, and delivery. So let's get right into it with ECW. ECW had two matches last week, both of which were actually tag team matches. Don't see that very often. The one I was most impressed with that week was the six-man tag that featured Goldust, Yatsu Tatsu, or whatever the crap his name is, and Mr. Mugshot himself, the Hurricane, going against Zack Ryder, Kalen Croft, and Trent Beretta. This was not by any means a Hart Foundation in the British Bulldogs catch-as-catch-can style match, but there were some good spots. One spot that I really liked was when Trent Beretta faked a spring-over splash to arrogantly kick Tatsu in the face. I laughed at this, but at the same time, I thought that if this team broke up, Trent Beretta was going to be the Shawn Michaels of the group. TNA really did bounce back this week from the lackluster 16 minutes of wrestling. I was very impressed, to say the least. One match I really liked was the six-man tag over there that featured Generation Me and Amazing Red going against Brian Kendrick and the Motor City Machine Guns. To me, these six men personify everything good about wrestling. It's just a shame it couldn't go a little longer, but they were obviously just setting up for the Doug Williams run-in. Now, about this run-in. In my opinion, these run-ins have never done anything but hurt the business. There are many pros and cons to go with this, but I think there are more cons than there are pros, such as WrestleMania 9. Does anyone remember this? Bret Hart and Yokozuna worked themselves to death in this match, only to have Hulk Hogan come in and steal the spotlight once again. Just another reason why I've never really been impressed with him. As for pros, like I said, there aren't that many. As a matter of fact, only one comes to my mind, and that's John Cena and Edge at New Year's Revolution 2006. Your opinion counts? What do you think? Ring of Honor on HDNet. There was a tag team match over there as well that really caught my attention. This, of course, was Cheech and Cloudy going against J. Mark Briscoe. It was truly what tag team wrestling should be, and I was really taught something in that match. The Briscoes are, of course, the Golden Boys over at Ring of Honor, and this match most certainly proves why. The last runner-up comes from my favorite night of the week, Nick. Mm-hmm. Friday. That's not saying SmackDown is my favorite show of the week, but the main event was simply great. Got to give them that. Shawn Michaels took on Rey Mysterio in what I thought was a definite dream match. This one was going very, very good in my opinion. Back and forth, fast-paced, finisher counters, and DQs. Wait a second. Did I just say Deke using it?
I think you did.
That's right. I did. Why in the world is a match like this ending like that? I'll tell you why, Nick.
Why?
Because Vince McMahon is falling out of his old rocking chair and hitting his head on the trash can where all the good ideas go. Do you agree? 888-357-9876. All of these, Nick, were great matches, but none were as good as the generic luchador El Generico and Kenny King.
You want me to explain why I attacked El Generico? Well, I'll just say this. Have you ever asked an alcoholic why he was sick? Or what was wrong with him? Or why he went to rehab? They probably said, to heal, to get better. Well, what I did tonight was exactly that. I was sick. I had a disease. And the name of that disease was El Generico. But I'm better now. And I'm just going to keep getting better. Because tonight, oh my God, tonight was so great. You know, 2 years ago, my son was born. And as great as that was, tonight was even better. Because tonight wasn't somebody else being born. When I wrapped that beautiful, sensuous steel chair around El Generico's head, that was Mr. Wrestling being reborn.
That video, of course, courtesy of Ring of Honor. Was that not a great promo, Nick?
Man, it was good. I ranked that right up there with the ECW Mick Foley's old promo from there, man. That was good.
That's a really good comparison. And I mean, I really love the story here. And Monday, what really intrigued me was that they actually had Generico look good in this match. Even after the promo that he cut that night, where he was too torn up to even speak. This really elevated King and Steen as heels, and it really elevated Generico as a babyface. As far as delivery and psychology of the match, I thought it was perfect. There were a few moves in particular that I was most impressed with. One of Generico's signature picture-perfect swanton dives, The royal flush move by Kenny King, of course the Yakuza kicks by Generico, and there was a lot of psychology in those kicks, because half of them Generico wasn't connecting with.
Right.
And this eventually led to the finish, which was, of course, Kenny King's coronation maneuver. But my favorite move of the match was when King hit a crazy Northern Lights suplex into the turnbuckles. Now, they're crazy, in my opinion, to even try something like that. And that's why they have my respect, and that's why they truly deserve Match of the Week. From here, Kenny King will be one of the three judges in the next Austin Aries and Tyler Black match. As far as Steen Erico, I can't wait to see where this goes.
Yeah.
So Kenny King and El Generico, Match of the Week winners for the week of January 25th. Questions and comments about Match of the Week can be emailed to radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. Or if you're a Genesis member, you can private message me, Total Nonstop Attitude, Nick.
Radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. Radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. You can send your candidates for Match of the Week there at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. Or if you are a Genesis member, private message Total Nonstop Attitude. Your opinion counts. 888-357-9876. Taking your phone calls. Coming up in the next hour as we go to break, we are talking to Rob and Pam Allen of the Soli Bloodline. Pam is the daughter of Gordon Soli. We'll be talking to them about Jack Briscoe. Of course, Jack Briscoe passed away yesterday. So we'll take a quick break, come back with more OWW Radio, a tribute to Jack Briscoe. Break.
We fly in the street, the town of Chicago. We fly on the rise, just follow with me. Ain't about to break a
All right, where do you go to find downloadable professional wrestling on demand? One site, clickwrestle.com. Whether it's male or female, mixed, you want some free videos, wrestlers, and the catalogs that follow, clickwrestle.com. Featuring wrestling matches involving Claudio Castagnoli, Art Cannon, cheerleader Melissa American Dragon, Daphne Chris Hero, and many more. ClickWrestle.com matches are now only $2.95 the purchase. $2.95. Can't go wrong with $2.95. Just log on to www.clickwrestle.com.
Hey, this is the Spud Guy, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Listen every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern as we get an in-depth with the world of wrestling. And as always, you can find me there, the real voice of Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The Bang Cartoon Radio Hour is now on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You got some email?
We have to watch Mark Sanchez scarf down a wiener on the sidelines. Jeff Garcia immediately demands to be traded to the Jets.
You want the latest NFL news? You won't get it here. You want NFL stats and analysis? You won't get it here.
Skip Bayless talks to Chad Ochocinco week 8.
The Steelers and the Ravens will wind up better than you. I've got you losing down the road here.
Losing what?
Baltimore? At Pittsburgh?
Please.
Skip Bayless is like my crack.
If you want the best and funniest NFL podcast on the internet, join us for the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour, Friday nights at 8:30, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Bang!
Put ECW where it belongs, the afterthought of the WWE, their developmental program on national television. Let's put it where it belongs. Let's get that straight.
Oh, Lordy, but Jesus, they just went through the whole thing on the other freaking tape. I went to play it back and went 2 sentences and then went... All right, I haven't had a beer yet. It's 5 to 11. This is killing me because I'm going to do this sober.
I'm like, do these assholes not see a pair of boxer briefs laying on the floor? Luna is one of the most beautiful women that I have ever saw. And I'm not lying.
OWW Radio. And now, Vic Anthony.
No women, Fran and Reba, the wee men. She gave it to the people away. To understand
888-357-9876, option 2, radio at onlinewaterwrestling.com. Radio at onlinewaterwrestling.com. Online, World of Wrestling, WTR, Wild Talk Radio Networks, Nick Anthony on the forums, broadcasting from Los Angeles, California. And you're tuned in to Online World of Wrestling Radio, where fans and legends come together. Whether you're a viewer of WWE's Monday Night Raw, ECW, Superstars, or Friday Night SmackDown, TNA Impact, Ring of Honor, the Indies, we talked them all, including MMA. We want to hear from you. We made it easy for you with our toll-free telephone number. It is 888-357-9876, 888-357-9876, hit option 2. The email address is radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com, radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. The great Tim McGraw bringing us in to the second hour of OWW Radio. Joining me now on the line from the Soli bloodline is Pam Allen. She's the daughter of Gordon Soli, and also her husband, Robert, or Bob. He's also on the line with us. They are the co-authors of the Soli Chronicles from Crowbar Press. We had them on previously. You know all about them. But today they're on this show to talk about Jack Briscoe, their memories of him, but also their father working with Jack. Welcome to the program, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you much. It's an honor to say anything about Jack Briscoe.
Well, we'll start off with you, Bob. Tell us a little bit about how you came in contact or heard about Jack Briscoe and known about the band.
I think at first I saw him on television in the early 70s, and then I believe he came into a place called Pit Stop. We wrote about it in the book, actually, where Gordon had me working when I first moved to Florida with Pam, and he was just a very pleasant, laid-back guy. And I saw him on television to wrestle, and I was extremely impressed because one of my best friends when I was growing up was a good amateur wrestler, and I knew the training, and I recognized when he got in the ring that, hey, this guy can wrestle. I mean, he's highly skilled. So that was my first time I met him, and I'll kick it over to Pamela here.
Yeah, he's Jack is probably one of the, what you call the true grapplers. I mean, you put him in the same class with Lou Sez and Don Curtis. I mean, they came in from the ranks from the college level, and what a phenomenal athlete. I mean, he was a gentleman. He was soft-spoken, had a great sense of humor, but he was a sensitive person at the same time.
To share one story about Jack, just to tell you what a nice guy he was. He had had back surgery, and this was after Gordon even passed away. And he was still doing some rehab. I didn't know he was still sore, actually, but he got in the car with his wife and another guy and traveled an hour to our house when we were starting out as authors so he could help us look at pictures because some of them were back before I ever saw wrestling, and he knew who some of the guys were. And, of course, Pam gave him a nice group, Rome and Dean, and he had a beer with us. But here's a guy hurting that came over to our house that didn't have to help us when we were starting out as authors. That's how nice that man was.
He's a good person.
Jack Briscoe, the first Native American to win the NCAA Wrestling National Championship and doing it in his junior year, as you mentioned, Pam, he was one of the few that had that real amateur background coming from college. I mean, national championship in his junior year. I mean, that's almost unheard of, isn't it?
Well, he was a four-year letterman. I mean, it was like, oh my gosh, this guy was good. And there's a video on YouTube that I caught the other day, and it's Jack wrestling Ric Flair, and it's you see it. I mean, the holds are long. I mean, it almost looked like a submission, but the way he was moving around and taking, you know, Ric down to the mat and holding him there, and I'm like, that's what I saw when I was in high school when the guys would wrestle on the team. And it was pure class all the way.
But he had some other sides to him, too. He and Gordon, besides getting along well when Gordon was announcing and Jack was wrestling, they liked to hang out at other things. They both liked stock car racing, and they went together to the Daytona 500. And I think later on, after Jack retired, he and his wife Jan actually went to some of the races, big races, and they'd had a, I think they had a booth with some kind of model car or something, just kind of like a fun thing to do. So,
well, that goes along with the Briscoe Auto Body Shop, too. They love cars.
Yeah.
Gordon Solie loved cars. Jack Briscoe loved cars. So those guys got along well outside of the ring, too.
Say, Pam, mm-hmm. your memories of inducting your father into the Hall of Fame, as well as being inducted in the same year as Jack and Jerry Briscoe in 2008. What are your memories of that?
Standing backstage, and at WrestleMania, what sticks out the most is standing back there ready to go out, and I was put behind Jack to follow Jack, Jerry, then Jack, then me, and then the rest of the family behind me. And I was like, 75,000 people. You're walking out on a stage, and I don't care who you are. It's enough to shake in your boots for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of looked up at Jack, and I said, I'm, like, really scared. And he goes, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. And it was just that ease that he gave you when, you were around him. And it was an honor. It was a real honor. I mean, it was just like, wow, I'm standing here with, I felt like a little kid. So it was an honor.
The WWE Hall of Fame class 2008, which included Ric Flair, Peter Maivia, Rocky Johnson, of course your father, Gordon Solie, Jack and Jerry Briscoe, Mae Young was in it. In my opinion, that was the by far the best selection for the WWE Hall of Fame class in any year.
They were the pioneers.
Yes, for so many reasons, and
yeah.
Pioneers of the industry.
Yep.
What about the Florida connection between Gordon Solie, Jack and Jerry Briscoe, Eddie Graham, and how these four gentlemen were as you said, pioneers in the field of announcing, tag team wrestling, promoting, also booking. Can you share some memories of Jack wrestling in Florida, what he learned under Eddie Graham, and his personal and professional relationship with your father, Gordon Solie?
Wow. There were a lot of them were involved in that together with Eddie. Don Curtis was heavy into that. Lou Fez. They were the mentors, and Jack was following behind them. And I think Jack was more drawn to the collegiate guys, which that's what Don was. And with Lou, I mean, the same thing. These were amateur. And I hate using that word because it doesn't sound right when you think of wrestling. You always think of professional wrestling. But amateur wrestling is a little different. And I think that's what he brought to, that's what those guys brought to the ring. That was, old school's a lot like that in that aspect.
Well, when they were starting out there, Cowboy Wetzel was the first guy in Florida to, like, help get amateur wrestling started. And Gordon supported it. Eddie Graham was all behind it 100%. They used to bring wrestlers on the show, and Gordon would interview them. In fact, the fans said sometimes that if Gordon had an amateur coach or wrestler on there interviewing, it's kind of boring compared to the professional part of the show, but they still believed in it. And Jack comes along, and Gordon sees this guy with tremendous skills. And one thing Gordon appreciated was either athletic ability or the guy's anatomy. If he was, had great triceps or biceps or quadriceps, but in Briscoe, he sees this highly skilled athlete, and he admired the daylights out of it before he even became friends. And the fact that they became friends was just like a bonus.
We're going to talk about some of those matches when we come back on the other side. More with Rob and Pam on the tribute to Jack Briscoe.
OWW Radio.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho.
Broncos.
Derek Bischoff.
Ben Fischer.
Nick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive sports for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet personalities today. And the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today. Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pro juice, Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Wrestling Talk has nowhere left to hide.
Running the Ropes is your definitive source for wrestling news and a more realistic perspective on a wide spectrum of topics.
No politics, no scripts,
no fake gimmicks.
Join Maverick and Nick on Running the Ropes, the only wrestling-based radio program in the San Francisco Bay Area, every Thursday at 6 p.m., right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, the evolution of online entertainment.
This is Mace telling you to tune in to Fire on Ice, 10 p.m. Eastern, Wednesday night, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Wait a minute, isn't that a hockey show? What's an Australian doing talking about hockey? Really, do I need to do a promo for this? Brock, you better pay me!
I'm Al Snow, former WWE superstar, tough enough trainer, and just all around gadabout. When I want to talk or I want to listen to someone else talk, I go to wildtalkradio.com.
Briscoe, pioneer in the industry, certainly a legend. Golden age of professional wrestling. It's what all these guys, looked up to. Current athletes that we see on our television screens, they're told stories about these guys. Rob and Pam Allen joining us here on OWW Radio on this tribute to Jack Briscoe. Before we went to break, Rob, we were talking about Gordon Solie calling some of the matches of Briscoe.
His favorite, actually, in his career, I'd say one of the two favorite matchups was Dory Funk Jr. and Jack Briscoe. And he just loved calling the action. One of his favorites was a one-hour draw that they did in front of a packed house at the Bayfront. And keep in mind, at that time, what these guys were bringing out in, for wrestling, they got $20 for ringside tickets in 72, and I think the Super Bowl sideline tickets were $12. I mean, it was big money. Dory Funk said that people just dressed to kill.
Wow.
And
there's a really neat picture of that, too.
They anywhere that Jack and Dory traveled, they packed every house in Florida. They went to Kiel Auditorium in St. Louis and packed it. They went to Japan and packed every arena. They were like the hottest thing in wrestling going on at the time. So one of the things about Jack that Gordon liked being a part of is he was one of the hottest matchups in professional wrestling ever.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Funk Briscoe matches were our classics.
Absolutely. What were Gordon Solie's opinions on Jack Briscoe as a human being?
Dad was very close to him. In fact, what was really kind of cool is they, the guys all still got together, you know, before Dad passed away. They were all meeting for lunch. They didn't meet like once a month. And Lou Thesz, before he passed away, and Don Curtis, and Brian Blair, and Jack, and, well, who else was there? There was
just before he died, he'd never met Wade Boggs.
Yeah.
And although that Wade was a Tampa hero, and so was Gordon, and they'd never met each other. And Brian Blair started the thing because he was Gordon was helping him with a book, and Jack would be there. And the last dinner was over at Gordon's favorite hangout in Malio's in Tampa. Steve Kern was there, Brian Blair, Wade Boggs, Jack Briscoe, and Gordon Tully. And one of the funniest things Gordon ever did is in a restaurant in his life, Gordon was talking with a electoral larynx at the end of his life, and somebody said something kind of smart, you know, being a smart ass, and Gordon said, "Don't make me raise my voice." He screamed it to the electoral larynx, and he held it over his head. And that was his voice at the time, so he's holding his mic basically over his head, and the place cracked up. They had a lot of good times. They had a lot of good times.
And they continued to meet. There's been a once a month they meet for, I think the only month they don't is December, but they still were continuing to meet even after Dad passed away. And as Brian said, you know, he wished, Brian Blair said, he wished he'd just had one more lunch with Jack.
Wow.
You know, because they were all there.
It's a tradition. They still go.
It's what they call the Legends Luncheon, I think. But they all meet and they have a, it's not a huge group. I think Hector Guerrero's in there. And I'm trying to think of the other people.
Gary was there with
Gary,
his son.
Yeah, with his youngest.
I heard he showed up for it. It was just I think
Mike
they had
Graham.
Like 15 or 20 guys from the area, or wives or whatever. And they
did this every year?
They did it every month.
Oh, every month?
Yeah.
Yes, every month.
And Brian Blair kind of started the thing, like I said, with Gordon.
They would go to Cricketers in Newport Richey and meet there for lunch, and Dad's favorite watering hole, and it was good. I mean, it's family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's the best way I can describe it, is they all went through a lot together. They all grew up together. You know, whether they were, you know, 50 years old at the time or 15, but they're all a family.
But the other part of the relationship with Gordon that was very important is most of us, you know, if you consider somebody a friend, you consider that, hey, I can trust them.
Absolutely.
And one of the things about Jack is you just won't hear bad stuff about him because he had integrity. In the wrestling business, you hear all the horror stories in the business. Hey, this is one of the actual good guys. He's a man of integrity. You could trust him. And Gordon was proud to call him his friend. In fact, I heard him say numerous occasions, Jack Briscoe's a class act, in and out of the ring. He's a close personal friend.
And when Jack went in the ring, it was business.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't playing the game. I think that was a quote I heard from him. And he was talking to one of the Armstrongs. I think it was Brad. And he's basically, I mean, I'm trying to quote it, and I'm not going to get it right, but he says, this ain't no game.
And then when he did take the belt, finally, I think he had a three-year run with that. And I guess you'd have to live through it to actually experience these guys hopping on a plane going to different cities every night because everybody wanted the NWA World Heavyweight Champion to come and perform at their event.
What's that one story about the Jack?
Oh, Jack fell a classic one time. That the first time they went to the Omni, it was packed, absolutely packed. In fact, they had problems in the out in the parking lots. People were getting upset. They brought in more police just to make sure the crowd control because they turned so many people away. And afterwards, they celebrated that night because it was just a great success for the Omni One in Atlanta. And they go out and have a lot of drinks. And it's Dusty and Jack and Gordon. I think there may have been someone else there. But anyway, they decide they're going to go up at like 3 in the morning and bang on and get in Jim Barnett's building. And Jim Barnett was the promoter, of course, at the time in Georgia. And he lives in this upper-class condo. In fact, when they walked in the building, the security guard wasn't got a lot of money. He starts saying, "You're Dusty Rhodes. You're Gordon Sully." And while he's still in awe, they get in the elevator and shoot up to Barnett's apartment. And Gordon the whole time, Jack says, Gordon the whole time is going, "Oh, I'm going to get fired for this. I know that Barnett will fire me now. Anyway, they go up there and he beat on his door, and finally he opens it, and there's three or four drunks standing in the hallway. Yeah, come on, we want to come in and have a drink with you, though. No. And he shuts the door, and they keep pounding, so he lets them in. He said, I'll have one drink with you, then you get the hell out of here. But Jack got the biggest kick out of the fact that Gordon kept saying, I know that I'm going to get fired over there. Anyway, the security guard may have gotten fired.
Yeah, no kidding. That guy was gone. You know that.
Like I said, imagine the
poor guy.
Yeah, the guy's in charge, and he looks up and he's in awe. And why he's in awe? These guys sneak upstairs to the most expensive condo in the building. So they had a lot of good times together.
And then there's the sensitive side of Jack. There was that one time when we were. That one picture?
We were looking at pictures. Remember that I told you he was at our house helping us look at pictures. And we pulled one up, and Jack started getting tears in his eyes. In fact, no, this was in a restaurant.
It was a restaurant.
It wasn't at our house. We were down at Cricketers one day. He's looking at this picture, and tears get in his eyes. And it was a wrestler named Frank Hester that died one night after they wrestled together, and they were traveling to another town, and he was killed in a car accident. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of guy he was. And this was back, this might have been 2003 or 4. We were talking to him, and the guy, I assume he got killed in the 70s. Imagine 30 years ago, Jack Briscoe seen a picture of a guy he wrestled with, and tears start running down his face because the guy got killed on the circuit. They were like a family.
Absolutely.
Robin, Pam, Allen, here on OWW Radio. On our tribute to Jack Briscoe. Now, we interviewed Dory Funk Jr. last year on the week he and his brother Terry were inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. We asked Dory about the time he was booked to lose the NWA world title to Jack Briscoe in 73. However, an accident that Dory had in his pickup truck changed the course of plans. Dory told us that, he said that the NWA and the promoters rushed to get him back in the ring as they were under immense pressure to meet the demand of ticket sales all the while he was still healing from his injuries from the accident, right? So Dory loses the NWA world title to Harley Race, who in turn loses the belt to Jack Briscoe.
Right.
It was speculated that the Funks lobbied to drop the world title to Harley Race instead of Briscoe, but Dory corrected the rumor on the show. Did Jack feel cheated in any way at that time, you know?
I honestly don't know.
I can't answer that.
I mean, they were at the feud that those two had going, it went on at events. I mean, it's like, come on, guys, you know? But if you actually know them and pull them aside and talk about the respect they have for one another, it's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dory said, you know, Dory's told me that Jack was a superb athlete, and he gave the business credibility. I think they had 300 matches together. They definitely had some respect for one another, regardless of any rumors that went around. But as far as that point in time, why it went to Harley, I don't know.
I see.
Sorry.
I just brought up one of the funniest stories, I think, because that's when they gave Harley the belt, and it was the first time he was going to wear it in a new match. And I think that's when they came out with a new NWA match, and they somebody else beat Harley. I think that might have been when they got the new belt. I don't think he forgot to wear it. That's what it was. I think maybe that's when Jack beat him. Like when they came out with a brand new belt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
they were going to give it to Harley that night if he won, but Jack won, so Jack got it. Harley never got to see the touch of thing at the moment.
Did the personal and professional relationship between Gordon and Jack differ in any way working in Georgia Championship Wrestling in Mid-Atlantic?
No.
They were just kind of honed in.
They all worked well together. Yeah, they all worked well together.
Okay.
If Gordon ever had any heat with people in his career, it wasn't with Jack Roscoe.
Never.
Gordon insisted that wrestlers put him in wrestling holds so he can get a feel of the move, so it would help him describe the fake.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was his purpose in doing all of that. He says, how do you describe it? And if you if you don't know what they're going through. You know, he says, and what if somebody gets into a hole, he says, how are they going to get out? He says, I have to know how they're going to get out of it, or at least attempt to get out of it, to put it off to, you know, put it off to the audience.
That actually happened before Jack made the scene, because it was Eddie Graham and Coach John Heath.
Mm-hmm.
And because Gordon wanted to know everything about it, but he said it was a particularly painful experience when Eddie showed him some holds.
I don't know that he would have gotten. I don't know that he would have enjoyed being under Jack's holds on the mat.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of power there. I mean, come on.
Between him and Denny Hodge, I don't think anybody would.
No, that would be and that would be the other one. Danny Hodge was also a collegiate, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was at Oklahoma. One was at Oklahoma, one was at Oklahoma State.
And then before that, it would have been Koch, would have been the other pure grappler, or Gotch. Gotch. Who it is. It's late at night. What do you expect from me? You're in California.
They started that Lou Fez Dragos Hall of Fame out in Iowa. The wrestling
Hall of Fame,
out there.
It was flooded.
Mike Chapman's in it, and Dan Grable, one of the better coaches ever in amateur wrestling. But they would induct people in their Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. and Jackson there. So there's other places that are still recognizing his not only his professional abilities, but what he accomplished in amateur wrestling.
Well, you watch Jack wrestle, and you're watching wrestling, and you didn't see him stand up on the you know, in the corners and jump off the ropes or do all that stuff. I mean, I watched the one match with Brad Armstrong. I thought, wow, you're pulling him through the ropes by his hair. You know, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, and it was still not Jack, but he was almost a heel at that. I mean, people were booing him and whatever, and I'm like,
and he, keep in mind, he got in the business when Gordon used to claim that these are the best conditioned athletes in the world, because like that one match was an hour long to a draw. They would, Dory Funk and Jack would go out, and the main event, they would wrestle for an hour.
I think there's,
and before that, guys would wrestle for an hour and a half or 2 hours in the main event.
I think Dad talked one time, he said that he had the guys weigh themselves before the match, because he just wanted to see how much was really lost out there as far as poundage. And I, if I'm not mistaken, I think he said Jack lost like 6.5 or 8.5 pounds, and I think Dory lost like around 12 pounds. But I mean, you go for an hour, you're going to lose some weight out there. Come on.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know,
really,
these guys, go ahead.
Oh, no, and if you're really doing what, if you're serious about what you're doing, you are. And today they can, you know, you've got, 6-minute matches, 15-minute matches. Yep. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We met a lot of people over the years, because we knew Gordon and we wrote books about him, going to different wrestling events. And, you know, one of the cool things, if you show up at an event, there's Jack. And that man would come up and shake your hand, and he had the biggest smile. Just this wonderful smile, made you feel happy, you know?
It's infectious.
And here's this guy who's strong, great athlete, you know, confident, but didn't act stuck up, didn't have the attitude. Shook your hand, glad to see you, laid back, and I think Pan had one thing. Outside of the ring, Jack had a calming influence on people.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember, and I will never forget this. I will never forget this. It was at the CAC last year in Las Vegas, and I can't remember the wrestler that came up and said it, but it was one of these, you know, golden era ages of professional wrestling, and he got up and said, you want to tell me that wrestling is fake, and I'll put you in a hold that'll tell you it's real. and he said this, and it stuck with me, and it will remain with me.
It sounds like an Ernie Ladd line.
Yeah, there you go.
Did. Ernie Ladd told a reporter, I think, in Miami, he said, you know, the guys mentioned about wrestling being fake, and he says, well, how about I put you in a hold until your eyeballs pop out, and then you can write your column and tell everybody that it's fake.
And these guys,
he left, obviously.
When you wrestle an hour, you're not going to be jumping around like these guys are today. They're going to hit you. I mean, they're going to pound you. They're going to put you in these holds, and you're going to be feeling it the next day. This is real. Well, back then it was.
Well, that's what they've seen along with everybody else. It's, you know, Gordon said it's a me generation. They want more of the fast, high percussion stuff today. And he was correct compared to the old ways of wrestling.
Yeah, this past Sunday at the Royal Rumble, we saw a guy in Edge who made his return back from an injury way too soon, I think. But he makes his money doing these gimmick-style matches off of, you know, ladders, tables, and chairs. But you didn't see any of that, I don't think, back then. These guys
well,
just,
you see every once in a while.
They still got the weapons out. They bring out the garbage can lids and smash in the head. And the guys had kendo sticks. They throw mist in your eyes or whatever. And you know, people wanted to see chair shots. The one thing that was a lot more prevalent was the blood, because in Gordon's era and Jack's era, you know, wrestlers bled. People wanted to see blood. That's why they came there. People used to go up in those days and grab the blood to see if it was real or if it was, you know,
One thing about the chair shots and the kendo shots and the trash can lids, you'll get hit with these things and the wrestler will be out for a couple of weeks. Now they're coming back the next week in today's industry.
It was really believable.
Yeah, it was really believable back then.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that's similar in both is the fact that they get probably a little more professional medical care today, but one of the hardest things I know then, for the guys then, one of the hardest things was not pretending to be hurt, but actually going out and being hurt and pretending that they're not. So they
that you're not hurt.
Show for the fans. That was one of the toughest things for them. They had to go out there and put on a good show for the folks, even if they had bruised ribs, you know.
Well, their circuit ran where they were going, and they have a day in between, you know. They had to get back in the ring. And there was that one piece I was watching on Jack on YouTube against Armstrong, and it was just interesting because Jack was known for what the fireman's carry, I think, or the fireman's flip or whatever, when he'd flip somebody over. And Armstrong did it to Jack, and Jack stood up after he got flipped and just looked at him, and I thought, I mean, at that precise moment, it was like, you did not just do that to me. And then Armstrong did it again, and when Jack got back up, it was like, that's it. You know, I mean, you're not showing me up.
Wow.
Great
what
psychology.
Are you guys, yeah, great ring psychology there back in that era. Memories of Jack's transition into tag team wrestling with his brother, Jerry. You guys have any memories of those?
No, it just seemed like it happened. It was just like this transition, yeah.
It's just natural.
And they were tight, too. I mean, it was just kind of cool because, you know, they had, you'd see one hot in Tampa, there's the other, you know. They were close brothers. And
a lot of people could take lessons from their connection with each other as brothers.
Jerry Biscuit will tell you about a great, you know, I had the world's best big brother, you know. That's pretty cool.
What about the Funk Brothers versus the Briscoe Brother feud, Matt? What are your memories of them?
Some nasty stuff there. Those guys could torment each other very, very good. Oh, yeah, I think that actually got into some heated matches, I think, once in a great. That's my opinion. Don't, you know, I could be crazy, but there were parts occasionally when the Funks and the Briscoes were there, it was almost like,
it went too far.
We're having a little bit of a shoot here for a while, huh, guys?
Yeah.
That's a good workout.
That was my impression anyway. But then, you know, I'd seen them both outside the ring and all four of them, and you know, they were cool. So.
Well, and the other thing, too, is when the promotion was going in Florida, you know, they would send wrestlers from other areas down there that were trying to get their start. And that was like their launching pad, basically. And here you had all these masters to learn under, and that's what they sent them down there for. Because they were going to wrestle. They weren't going to play games.
And keep in mind, though, like if the Funks were the heels, they were transport people in those days in different vehicles. They weren't flying in the same plane. Harley Race wouldn't go with anybody. You know, he hated them all. He'd fly by himself. He'd go up there because he didn't want to be seen with them because he wanted to kick the crap out of him when he got in the ring. And
right.
So, I mean, they had different locker rooms. The heels were in this locker room. The faces were over here. And they had different travel arrangements. I thought that part of the business, to me, is incredible, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't party afterwards in the same bar where everybody could see them.
And some of the rivalries that started up with the, and Jack would know firsthand because, like, Eddie Graham, you know, some guy, one of the wrestlers ticked him off, and then the guy got into it with Eddie on the street, and they got in a fight, you know. The cops hauled him away to jail. You know, the feud went on out in the street. This was like hours after the matches were over. So anyway, Jack, I think he saw a lot more crowd involvement. I remember uh-huh. Jack got sued because, you know, some guy, his partner was out of the ring and the crowd started getting at him. He went out to help and a guy just, all Jack did was put a guy in a headlock. No, he's just constraining the guy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, a guy probably 81 years old gets popped in the face, breaks his nose, knocks his teeth out. I mean, he's a mess, you know. And he filed suit against Jack. But then they had people come forward and say, no, all he did was restrain this other guy. I think it might have been Morocco or somebody else that swung over Jack's shoulder and popped it in. But so that part, too, he was in a different era because of the crowds. You know, they stab guys. They burn guys' cars in the parking lot.
That's right.
It was a day, like I said, you're talking a totally different era, and he was right smack dab in the middle of it.
I think a couple of them got stabbed. I think Dory got stabbed as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I know. I think Killer Carl Brooks got stabbed in the butt, and Gordon was there at one of the shows where he's talking to the security officer and a wrestler. This guy walks up, he's like 80-some years old. He's barely walking, and he's sticks the wrestler in the back with a knife,
mm-hmm.
and nobody saw it coming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Carl Brooks was another one. He was a bad guy running around in Texas, a nasty boy, and he goes out in the parking lot and his car's in flames. They just set it on fire because the crowd didn't like him. They burned his car. That's a little different. That's the era that, you know, Jack saw that at different arenas around the country.
Mm-hmm. Bob and Pam Allen joining us here on OWW Radio. The tribute to Jack Briscoe. We'll take a quick break, come back. One more segment. Bob and Pam Allen here on OWW Radio.
OWW Radio.
Now, an online world of wrestling is proud to present its official forum, OWW Genesis, the gold standard of wrestling forums. OWW Genesis hosts over 50 active forums, which include news, results, the WWE section, TNA, ROH, independent and international discussion, women's wrestling, 8 video forums, OWW forum games, MMA, wrestling video games, and wrestling interests. You want more? Okay, Genesis also has forums dedicated to wrestling promotions of the past, ECW, WCW, and the golden age of professional wrestling. More? Okay, Genesis has more to offer its community with a variety of special features such as OWW Undisputed, Debate League, Bloodfest, All Time Polls, What If, Fair or Foul, even an eFed called Takedown. More? Okay, OWW Genesis is also proud to be the official community forum for Chick Fights and OWW Radio. More? Okay, you'll find me there, Nick Anthony, and all the producers and many others right there at online World of Wrestling's official forum, OWW Genesis. It's the gold standard of wrestling forums. It's the gold standard! Okay, that one hurt it.
The evolution continues. Sunday nights when Wrestle Talk Radio hits the airwaves on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Covering the latest in pro wrestling from all the news you need to know. Comprehensive pay-per-view coverage and some great debate.
And this week we've got Mr. Perfect scoring off against Rick Rude.
Plus, you will never know who will drop in for a conversation.
This is Extreme Championship Wrestling's referee, Jim Molina.
I'm former WWE superstar, ECW superstar, Al Snow. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
Interact live with the show anytime at 1-888-357-9876 and give us your take on the world of pro wrestling. Join Wrestle Talk Radio Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network at wildtalkradio.com.
Now.
Well, I heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord. But you don't really care for music, do you? Well, it goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall and the major lift. The baffled king composing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Well, your faith was strong, but you needed proof. You saw her bathing on the roof. Her beauty and the moonlight overthrew you. And she tied you to her kitchen chair. And she broke your throne and she cut your hair. And from your lips she drew the hallelujah.
Radio at OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com is the email address. We pay tribute to Jack Briscoe, Bob and Pam Allen joining us here on the show. Bob, Pam, we have a couple of minutes left. I'm going to ask you for your final thoughts for Jack Briscoe.
First for me, I feel sorry for my sympathy for Jack's wife, Jan, and of course, his brother Jerry and all their family members. I think I can summarize it up with the fact that one thing I learned about Gordon Sully was the fact he was a very good judge of character, and he knew the people in the business. If you mentioned Jack Briscoe's name, you got kind of this happy aura about him, and that was good enough for me before I ever had the pleasure of meeting Jack. And like I said, Gordon and Jack were the ones that were really close friends. I'm just blessed that I got to know him, visit with him sometimes, and he made my life better than it was before I ever met the man. He was just a nice person and a great athlete.
And what a stable they have in heaven.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can just imagine all of them up there. I mean, it's, you know, they're back doing their thing. Jack was a good man, and he will be greatly missed. And I go back on what Bob says, you know, our lives were enriched because he was in it.
As OWW Radio goes off the air tonight, I want you to think about the past wrestlers that paved the way for the industry that we currently enjoy watching now. Think about the struggles that they have endured, what they had to encounter on the road, in the hotels, things that today's wrestlers don't have to deal with. The personal attacks by obnoxious wrestling fans, fans that took their character persona to heart. Think about that and realize where the industry is today. Become a true wrestling fan and know the history of professional wrestling. Keep their memories alive. Keep their celebrity alive. The Gordon Solis, Jack Briscoe, Killer Kowalski. Bob, Pam, I thank you very much for joining me here and sharing with your memories on Jack Briscoe.
Thank you. My privilege to talk about Jack.
Thank you very much. I would love to have you guys on again.
Okay. God bless you.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Aaron?
Yeah.
Man, every time we do one of the every time we do one of these shows, it really gets you. Because I think about the past wrestlers because I've seen them and I've talked to them, and then when they start passing away and then you know it really hits you. It's really like a family, man. It really is.
Yeah.
I want to thank the executive producer Corey Morrow, the rest of the producers of this show, Chuck Scott, of course you, Aaron. Brad Dykin is the chief editor of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Jason Dedrich is the owner. Check him out at Fordella.gov. Special thanks to the WTR production, Tim Stein, running our boards today. Thanks to Tim. Thanks to Bob and Pam Solee for coming on and sharing their memories of Jack Briscoe. Legendary, pioneer, Hall of Famer, Jack Briscoe. Go ahead, Aaron.
All right, OWW is on iTunes, where we have all of our shows, as well as over at clickwrestle.com. We are on Twitter, we have a Facebook page, as well as a YouTube channel. Also, Wrestle-Radio and WTR are where you may find us. OWW is the gold standard, as well as the most reliable resource for wrestling in the world. Our email address is radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com, and you can call in toll-free to the studios at 1-866-543-OWW0. That is 1-866-543-6990. Nicholas.
Although he is no longer with us, Jack Briscoe's contributions to and influences on professional wrestling will never be forgotten. One of the most well-respected men in the business by both his peers and fans. His legend will now only grow. Thanks for listening.
Like sand through the hourglass, so are the days of our lives.